This is a recording of Dr. Derek Ashworth of 63 Bowes Hill, Rowlands Castle, made on the 12th of February 2008. On the 12th of February.
I have been instructed to start talking, so goodness help you. I arrived in Rowlands Castle in December 1967. My name is Derek Ashworth and I was born in Bacup, Lancashire on the 9th of September 1926. My parents were John Wilfred Ashworth, a fruiter and florist, and my mother was called Eva. I lived with my sister.
Yes, okay.
I lived with my sister and Beryl, with whom I still have a good relationship, having been there quite recently. I attended Mount Council school, then Mount Secondary School, the Bacup and Rottenstall Grammar School, and eventually in 1944 was admitted to Manchester University, where I proceeded to qualify after 5 3/4 years in medicine. I didn't take up medicine myself originally, but it was suggested by the headmaster at the grammar school that I should take the course and become a doctor. And quite honestly, I'm glad I have, because I know no other job in life, and have been very happy in my dealings with most people. Prior to coming to Rowlands Castle, I was in practice in a place called Swinton on the west side of Manchester for 12 years, for thinking of moving. The move to Rowlands Castle occurred primarily to make my daughter live in a decent, clean area, free from the pollution of the winters, which caused her to have terrible bronchitis and sometimes bronchopneumonia, where she became blue in the face. Unfortunately, that move proved to be dead beneficial. Yes. In December 1967, I arrived in Rowlands Castle after spending 12 years in practice in Swinton. Besides my daughter's illness, I was glad to see the backs of rows and rows of houses which were brick built. And there was no green relief to, no natural environment. To escape from Manchester took about nearly an hour of traveling in a car. However, this all changed for Rowlands Castle, and I wouldn't go back for all the tea in China. At first, we rented the house, I think it's 41 Bowes Hill, for several weeks prior to moving to 63, which was, in my opinion, far superior, but not ideal. Number 41 Bowes Hill had a tin shed in the garden which dealt as a consulting room and waiting room. It was divided lengthwise down the middle, and patients could hear what I was saying and I could hear what the patients were saying whilst they were waiting to attend. However, owing to the sum required for 41 Bowes Hill and the defects in the situation, I was glad when 63 became available. But at that time, my father-in-law had to attend an auction for 63. And eventually it was taken off the market because the set price, the fixed price, was not bid. On the evening of the auction, I received a telephone call offering me the house at a figure slightly above the fixed price, which I accepted and was glad to get the whole thing settled. That's that. Right. The house was not ideal for medical practice. However, it was extremely useful. The patients came in through the front door and waited in the hall. The very front room was a consulting room because it was big enough to be so, where the dispensary was situated in the larder. Unfortunately, there were toilet facilities. At times, people queued up and went up the stairs, and I thought I'd find some of them in bed. However, in 1980, 13 years after coming here, the whole practice moved down to the village in Robert Winnicott's stables. Much needed move because it had become too big for the house, couldn't contain them. Right, originally a lady came in three mornings a week to help with the dispensary, the typing, and all the matters that accumulate in medical practice. After a couple of years, she left because she didn't want to travel to Rowland's Castle from Walderton. And during that time, their position was taken by, first of all, Mrs. Leonard. Carol, I can't remember her surname now. So long ago. And then, it'll come to me eventually. Kit Walker, who was absolutely superb. and quite able to do the job, but unfortunately there were doubts about herself. Eventually, in 1980, the move down to the Green in Robert Winnicott's stables, which had been done up, was made. The practice then became like the present, an appointments practice, and the tone was set for the future attendance of the village. There were separate consulting rooms, separate dispensary, separate nursing quarters, a library, accommodation to house a student. It was heaven on earth to have the proper facilities to work in. Right, at this time, 1980, another doctor had entered the practice. This was Dr. Stuart Drew, who retired about 3 years ago. Took over and helpfully aided the practice. At this time, I presume it happens now, we attended deliveries and had a large antenatal clinic, which I thoroughly enjoyed. The midwife was Mrs. Richards, whom I learnt a few months ago had passed away after she had suffered from senile dementia. I must say that the midwives were excellent and were highly trained and did a thoroughly good job. We didn't run into any difficulties much with the maternity cases, and ladies themselves were super. It was nice, very nice, to see the families gradually increase as the youngsters appeared. Primarily we dealt with St. Mary's, the Royal Hospital, and Queen Alexandra in Portsmouth, although Queen Alexandra was quite small in those days. We used Havant Hospital for convalescent cases and looking after the elderly particularly. St. Richard's in Chichester was used for the West Sussex patients, and at that time there was a maternity hospital in Emsworth, which I used on more than one occasion. standard in the hospitals was quite good. I can't comment on standards today, but they seem to do things which they threatened to do in the old days, and the procedures are amazing. Particularly heart care, which is done, of course, in Southampton.
Right.
Home visits were performed regularly. Used to draw a line for distant patients because it was impossible to regularly visit. However, we did take a few, and usually we stopped at all at Horndene and refused to go any further. Rowland's Castle was no difficulty. It was quite common to travel to Westmarden and Compton and to visit there. But, however, a little further afield was proved too time consuming. I remember a flu epidemic in the early 70s. People in Rowland's Castle were much more self-sufficient than in the towns and cities. And I can make a comparison. In the city, I well remember one September Saturday, about 1957, when my senior partner had gone away on holiday and I was left alone. And between leaving the surgery in the morning to do visits and coming home somewhere about 1 o'clock, I found 30 odd new visits on the pad, which it would have been impossible to perform. Whereas in Rowland's Castle, they would ring up and ask what to do and would be satisfied with advice. And they would call again later if things became bad for them. Oh.
Yeah, one night.
I remember one night I was called out of bed by an elderly man who had got renal colic, an extremely painful condition, who was most grateful that I'd attended to him and eased his pain. That time he said he didn't expect any doctor to attend in the middle of the night. And I pointed out that whilst he was in agony, it was my job to attend to him. Mm-hmm. I decided after my wife's death in 1987 that it was time to retire from medicine. And I'm very grateful I did, because I've been able to enjoy those years, particularly with travelling abroad. I spent 2 years in Newfoundland practicing medicine in Canada, which was very similar to practice in UK, except you had to deal with isolated communities. My daughter, Victoria, came down in 1967 and is still in this district. She's got her own family now, married a local boy. She attended the local school originally, and then later went on to a school at Wickham. Now she is a teacher's assistant at Staunton. She's very happy. My son Robert, as you will know, was a great rugby player, played for the England schoolboys whilst he attended Portsmouth Grammar School. Now he works as a solicitor in Portsmouth and has a son of his own. I started learning to play the piano when I was about 6, but gave it up at the age of 9 on the grounds that the homework didn't leave me much time, but ostensibly it was because I was tired of practicing. However, I took it up again when I was probably about 14 or 15, and still enjoy it to this day. The organ followed. It started again. It stopped because...
It's rally.
The organ followed, and I did 2 years with a teacher, and since then I've had to pick it up myself. Well, same has happened with the piano too.
Really?
Yeah. No more lessons after the initial first lot.
Do you have perfect pitch?
I don't know.